Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in, and thanks very much for dialing in to Senator Dick Durbin. Senator, welcome.
It's good to be with you.
Let's start with the headline that's just in. It's not a big surprise, but that panel of medical experts advising the CDC has said, indeed, that healthcare personnel and people in nursing homes should be the first people to get the vaccine. As I read it here, it says healthcare personnel first. I would imagine that's not a big surprise to you, but I'm just wondering your reaction.
Oh, that's obvious. These men and women have risked so much, have given us so much. They're the first that should be protected. We count on them when people that we love get sick. They risk their own lives and the lives of their family to keep them well. And they ought to be our highest priority.
Well, we certainly hope so. And it's good to hear that some of them could be getting vaccinations as soon as what? We're in December, so maybe a couple of weeks from now.
Wouldn't that be great? I believe we've reached the point now, or we're soon going to reach it, where the government will announce the safety and the efficacy of these vaccines. We have a lot of them prepared and ready to be administered. As someone said, the vaccines are not going to stop the coronavirus, but the vaccinations are. So I hope many people, when given the opportunity, will take advantage of it.
Are you ready to roll up your sleeve?
Yes.
Yeah, and me too. In fact, I'm walking around with my sleeve already rolled up, Senator.
Well, you look at it this way. You know, I want my wife, of course, included in the bargain, or I'm going to stand by the sidelines too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a reality that this is a deadly infection. Many people escape with minor symptoms, but some give their lives to it. And these poor medical professionals risk their lives every day because of it. We've got to bring this to an end. And the things we can do, we ought to do, whether it's masking or social distance or washing hands. But when it comes time for the vaccine, that's the way to start to limit the population that can be infected.
I doubt that you expected that my first question would be about the vaccine, because the big political question today is about Bill Barr, the Attorney General, saying that he and the Justice Department have found no widespread corruption when it comes to the vote. That's something that just about everyone has been saying, with the exception of the president and some of his lawyers. Do you think this will put an end to it?
Well, isn't it interesting that this is a news story when the Attorney General of the United States gets caught red-handed telling the truth? We've been reporting this story over and over. He told what everybody already knew.
Right.
That this election was not fraudulent, that the charges made by President Trump were primarily to raise money. And I understand he's raised $170 million since the election by claiming that he, in fact, won the election and Joe Biden lost. $170 million people sent to him for saying basically a lie to the American public. I don't know how gullible people are, but the fact is Republican election officials in state after state have said the obvious. Joe Biden won the election.
So what do you think is behind Barr's statement then? I mean, he's gone 4 weeks now without saying it. Why is he saying it now?
Probably trying to rehabilitate his resume, but it's a little too late. I think he spent the last several years playing Ed McMahon to the president's Johnny Carson. He's agreed with everything. He's laughed at every joke. He's joined in every lie, and he's going to pay a price for it in terms of history.
All right, so there's that. Also, some stimulus talk today, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was talking about the fact that there should be a bill before the end of the year. Here's the senator.
This government is in place for sure for the next month. And I think the place to start is, are we actually making a law, or are we just making a point? And I think the way you make a law for sure is you know you've got a presidential signature. So we'll see how it goes forward. I think the one thing we all agree on, as I said, waiting till next year is not an answer. We need a targeted relief bill, including things that we can agree on.
Senator, if I was betting on you guys, I think I'd be betting against you. Where would you put your money?
Well, you have every right to be skeptical. And here is the Republican leader of the Senate who has finally come to the realization we have to do something. And what he is presenting to us is a $500 billion bill. Now, that sounds like a huge amount of money until you look at what we're asked to do with it. We're asked to provide unemployment insurance for people who are going to be cut off, 12 million of them, losing UI December 26th, the day after Christmas. hundreds of billions of dollars that we need for businesses to save them and their staff and employees from ruin and closing down forever, money for the state and local governments, and Senator McConnell comes up with a $500 billion bill, what we call the skinny bill. Now, he didn't talk about the fact that today, I think a very important group, a bipartisan group of senators and congressmen announced that they got a compromise bill they're prepared to vote for. It's $908 billion. It isn't the big bill that Nancy Pelosi and I would like to see, but it is a reasonable attempt to do something important before we leave for Christmas. I hope that Senator McConnell will listen to the Republicans in his ranks who have shown enough courage to build this alternative bill.
Well, he's already said no, according to some reports, including CNBC. We couldn't find sound of it, but he's rejected that as being too big. I was kind of picking up that maybe Speaker Pelosi and others were rejecting it because it was too small. Do you think she'd be willing to sign off on this $908 billion bill?
Well, I hope so. I would like to sit down and urge her to do it. I have agreed with her every step of the way in terms of what's needed to stop this coronavirus and to save this economy and to save these businesses and people who are unemployed. But there comes a point where we've got to do what we can do with this outgoing president and be prepared for President Biden to face this issue squarely.
All right, let's go to the president-elect and his cabinet choices. He announced the economic team today. He's done a pretty good job of sort of easing the names out there and then getting confirmation at the actual announcement. And another name that's been floating, and it's certainly been leaked by someone on one side or another, has been Rahm Emanuel for Treasury Secretary. Of course, the Laquan McDonald thing is haunting him. I'm sorry, transportation, correct. Do you think that's going to go to him?
I don't know the answer to that, and I've talked to him several times because, let me just tell you selfishly, the best thing that can happen for the state of Illinois is for Rahm Emanuel to become Secretary of Transportation. We need help. We need investments in infrastructure and the jobs that they create and the businesses that can survive because of them, and he'd be in a prime position to be helpful to us. He wouldn't need an explanation of what the state needs or the city needs. I'm supporting him. He'd be a great transportation secretary. I don't know if he's in the running. I hope he is.
Well, Ohio is the state of presidents. We could be the state of transportation secretaries, right? We had Sam Skinner back in the day, Ray LaHood, Rahm Emanuel. I don't know if I'm missing anyone.
No, but you've certainly named some people that I've worked with very successfully. And it really means it makes a difference when someone in the cabinet is from your state and really cares about it. They listen, they understand, they do their best. That's all I can ask for.
When you talk to Rahm Emanuel, does he want the job?
Well, he did several weeks ago, and that's the first time he brought it up to me. I don't know. There's been a lot of water under the bridge and a lot of charges back and forth since then. So I can't say where he stands there or whether he's in the running today. But as I said, if he wants to be Transportation Secretary, I'm in his corner.
Well, that goes back then to how I started this conversation, whether it was coming from the Biden camp or the Emanuel camp. Do you think it's coming more from Rahm than Joe?
I don't know anymore. I can't tell. Initially, I thought Rahm was he clearly wanted the position. He was building the case for it and asking if I would support him. And then a lot of time has passed. I've heard speculation that he might be the trade representative or some other spot. I just don't know what's going on in the inside of the Biden administration.
All right, let's go to Georgia now, where there are two Senate seats up for runoff elections. Each is held currently by a Republican. Of course, Joe Biden won in Georgia, but that was kind of a lightning strike. You'd need lightning to strike two more times to win these Senate seats and take over the Senate and make Chuck Schumer the majority leader. What are your chances?
We've got a chance. I don't want to overstate it. But look what the president's doing. He's trying to convince the people of the United States and the people of Georgia that it was a rigged election, they wasted their vote, it was miscounted, and say we're somehow bamboozled by some algorithm out of Venezuela. I don't know what the latest theory is. In a situation where the people in Georgia are being asked to come out in a special election on January 5th, the president is telling them what a worthless venture that has been in the last election. I'm not sure that's the message that the two Republican Senate candidates want to hear. They want people to believe that their vote's going to count and they need them. So I'd say at this point, we've got a strategy, we've got some leadership, we've got two great candidates, we've got a chance.
All right, Senator Dick Durbin, listen, I very much appreciate your joining us today. I know you're busy. I hope we can talk again.
Let's do it.
All right, you're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. The news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is just around the corner.